Hello, everybody, from all around this beautiful and wonderful world. You're currently listening to the most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ One Up, and just like every week, here we are. We've got a whole hour together. I'm not gonna lie to you all, this is definitely one of my favorite parts of the week, to come here and to be given the honor to be able to broadcast something that I love doing to people that I don't even know. So, to all my listeners out there, to everyone taking the time out to come here every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., you really don't know how much this means to me, and I thank you all for listening. And so, we are going, just like every week, we're going to go over a video game, one of my favorite video games, and I think one of the most entertaining video games that I've ever played in terms of both gameplay as well as storyline. So, with those hints, I hope you'll continue to stay tuned, you'll continue to listen, continue to stay here, have fun. We have no special guests this week, so you're just going to have to stay here, listen to me talk about one of these games. And to be honest, it's not just one game, it's a whole series of games, much like all of the other games that I have been covering. If you tuned in last week, you already know that we had a whole lot of fun. We had three special guests on here. That's something I've never done before, to have three other people on the mic with me. So that was a lot of fun. If you tuned in, once again, thank you. Shout outs to my boys, Daniel, Kev, and Jacob, for coming out and speaking to me about Pokemon again. Pokemon is definitely one of my favorite video games of all time. So don't be surprised if we bring you back to another episode of Pokemon. But for now, we're actually going to move on from talking about Pokemon, and we're going to go into, I'm just going to tell you what the game I'm going to be talking about this week is. An action adventure video game series created by the company Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed. Now, for those that don't know, Assassin's Creed is a game where you are the main character, and the main character is part of the Assassin's Brotherhood. Now, there are several different games. It spans throughout several different consoles as well. It's not exclusive to any console. There are games on the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One. They release their games for the PC, for Macs. They have games on Nintendo DS, the PlayStation Portable, PlayStation Vita. They also have games on the App Store for iOS, as well as the Android App Store and the HP App Store. And they also have games for the Wii U. So, getting on to our regular segments. If you've been tuning in, you already know what it's about. We're going to bring you video game news pertaining to the video game that I'm going to be talking about. In this case, it's going to be Assassin's Creed news. After that, we're going to get into very, very deep conversation about the video game itself. And I am super, super excited because I really love this game. Way back then, when I first picked up this game, I remember never being able to finish it because I got too caught up in all of the side quests to get on with the main story. So as of right now, I actually have never finished the first Assassin's Creed. I know what happens in the end, but in terms of playing the game, I haven't finished it. And because I haven't finished that, I have to do all of you a favor. I'm going to finish that sometime this week and then get back to you with a report next week. So, let's get into video game news. Assassin's Creed, one of the biggest news stories that's coming out of Assassin's Creed right now is that today, Tuesday, October 18th, 2016, a trailer for the Assassin's Creed movie came out. And it has been all over YouTube, on Vimeo. The main character, if you have seen the most recent X-Men movies, is Michael Fassbender. He played Magneto in X-Men First Class, and I forgot what the other X-Men's were that after that, but I remember seeing First Class and remember seeing Michael Fassbender as Magneto, and that was really cool. So he is going to be pulling off one of the most impressive feats. This is going to be his last film of the year, and it's going to be really crazy because, for the most part, when you see a video game turned into a movie, it doesn't really get all that great reviews. Resident Evil is one of the most, I think, is the perfect example of that, because the games are some of the most fun games that I've ever played. Very top-notch, very well made. But the movies leaves a little more to be wanted. So let's actually read this article that I found here on slashfilm.com covering the Assassin's Creed 2 trailer. This article is by Angie Han. Angie, if you're listening, thank you for this article. I appreciate it. So, Michael Fassbender may be able to fly and bend metal as Magneto in the X-Men movies, but he stands to pull off an even more impressive feat in his last film of the year, Assassin's Creed. Convincing audiences that a video game movie can actually be good. Okay, perhaps we're being a bit unfair. Warcraft definitely had its moments. If you haven't seen that, Warcraft is based off of the popular MMORPG, World of Warcraft. Warcraft definitely had its moments, even if it was kind of a mess overall. And the Angry Birds movie, Angry Birds is a popular App Store game that has since evolved. I've actually seen the Angry Birds Netflix show, so that's really crazy. The Angry Birds movie was a bona fide box office hit. But the fact remains that on the whole, audiences have had very good reason to be skeptical about video game movies for a very long time. Thankfully though, this one looks more promising than most. Fassbender's Macbeth director, Justin Kurzel, is at the helm, and based on the footage so far, it appears he has not lost his eye for beauty. And that's a good point, because one of the biggest factors about Assassin's Creed is that you're pretty much thrown into historical cities, and as an assassin, because you have assassin skills, you're able to climb to the top of rooftops and pretty much admire the city that you are in, or admire the landscape that you're in. So it's great that Justin Kurzel is focusing on beauty as a great aspect of the game, as well as being a great aspect of the movie that he's directing. Back to the article. Plus, it's got an all-star cast including Marion Cotillard, Ariane LaBed, Jeremy Irons, Brendan Gleeson, and Michael K. Williams. That's a freaking great lineup for any movie. Shoutouts to Angie Han once again for the use of freaking instead of, you know, the other one. check out the newest Assassin's Creed trailer below. We're going to skip that for now, although I feel like it would be fun to watch it together, to have you all listen. The beauty is the best part of this game, and I feel as though because you're not able to watch the trailer, you're only able to hear it, then it takes away from the experience. So if you want to check that trailer out, if you want to check this article out, /film.com/assassins-creed-trailer-2/. Once again, /film.com/assassins-creed-trailer-2. And that's where you can check out this article that I've been reading, as well as an embedded link for the video. And to finish up the article, the new Assassin's Creed trailer is packed with all the kicking, punching, flipping, stabbing, and roof jumping action you'd expect, but also offers a bit more insight into the man at the center of it all. Callum Lynch, a modern man who's forced to relive the genetic memories of an ancestor. This is really cool because Callum Lynch is actually played by Fassbender, and the ancestor that he's going to be reliving the genetic memories of is also played by Fassbender. Really cool, because in the games, it's not the same person. So this ancestor, he lived during the Spanish Inquisition. Interesting. We also get to see more of the others who've been scooped up by Abstergo. Abstergo is going to be an important name that I want you all to keep in your head, because as soon as I talk about them, you're going to be like, oh, Abstergo. I hate them. But anyway, including the character played by Michael K. Williams. All in all, I think this might be the best trailer yet. So check out that trailer for sure. Assassin's Creed hits theaters December 21st. And here's a little synopsis. Through a revolutionary technology that unlocks his genetic memories, Callum Lynch experiences the adventures of his ancestor, Aguilar, in 15th century Spain. Callum discovers he is descended from a mysterious secret society, the Assassins, and amasses incredible knowledge and skills to take on the oppressive and powerful Templar organization in the present day. So those are two important terms that you have to keep in your head if you want to keep up with this Assassin's Creed discussion. That is, once again, the Assassins and their sworn enemies, the Templars. And Abstergo. Don't forget Abstergo either. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go on our first break. Please stay tuned. We have a bunch of great Assassin's Creed discussion to talk about. We're going to be talking about gameplay, storylines, characters, all that beautiful stuff. So once again, stay tuned. This has been DJ 1UP with your most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and we will be right back. Hello once again to all of my beautiful and wonderful listeners. We're back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, with the most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker. I'm your host, DJ 1UP. If you're just tuning in and you're hearing the music play in the background, and you already know what the music is, then you already know what game we're talking about. But if you don't, then of course, let me enlighten you. This week, we are talking about one of my favorite action-adventure video game series, Assassin's Creed. Now, if you're just tuning in earlier, we went over some video game news, and that consisted of me talking about the trailer for the new Assassin's Creed movie, which is actually based on the video games. That movie is starring Michael Fassbender. So if you're interested in that and you're interested in Assassin's Creed, which if you stay and listen to the whole show, you're definitely going to be interested in Assassin's Creed, go ahead and check that out. That is coming out December 21st, 2016. They actually released a new trailer today. Really cool. And it looks a lot like the video game, but of course, since it's Michael Fassbender and they had to create a new storyline for it, it's much more different. So, now that that's over with, we're going to get into our meat of the show, my favorite part of the show. Of course, everything is my favorite part, but this is my favorite of the favorite. We're going to spend the rest of our time talking about Assassin's Creed. There are currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 different video games in the main series, with a bunch of other video games that are considered spin-offs. And so we'll mostly be talking about the main series. I've played a few games here and there. As you might already assume, these games are huge, meaning not only do they take up a lot of space on your consoles, they take a lot of time to finish. So I do love video games and I do love these games, but I have to be honest, I haven't finished all of them. And if you were tuning in before, about maybe 15 minutes ago, you heard that I got so sidetracked on the side quest for the first game that I still haven't finished it. But I also mentioned that I'm going to finish it this week and get back to you with a report next week. So let's get on to talk about Assassin's Creed. I'm going to introduce the game, sort of talk about its gameplay mechanics and some of the main characters and some of the organizations that are important to the game. And from there, we'll see where it goes. So, the games are set in a fictional history of real-world events and follows the centuries-old struggle between the assassins who fight for peace with free will and the Templars who desire peace through control. The main games in the franchise were developed by Ubisoft Montreal, which is Ubisoft's Montreal sector in Canada, and they mostly developed the single player area, while as Ubisoft Annecy, they did the multiplayer. And the handheld titles were developed by Gameloft and Griptonite Studios, with additional development by Ubisoft Montreal. This game has sold over 93 million copies. That's between all series. That sounds like a huge number. I couldn't imagine selling that many copies, but that was as of June 2015. I have a couple of those 93 million, and it is Ubisoft's best-selling franchise, which I can see because I've never seen Ubisoft made a better game than this. So shout-outs to Ubisoft. Y'all did really well with this, and it's been a fun game to play, to be honest. It's one of those games where you can come back into it. You could buy the game when it first came out, and Assassin's Creed, the first one, came out November 13, 2007. You could pick that up right now and still have a lot of fun with it. Because, I mean, he has, as an assassin, you receive skills that are almost like, the best way to describe them is European ninja skills, and they're just awesome. So, who doesn't want to be an assassin? The Templars are way boring. Anyway, the Assassin's Creed games primarily revolve around the rivalry between two ancient secret societies, the Assassins and the Knights Templar. What I've read in other news, if you're sort of a conspiracy theorist like me, the Knights Templar reminds a lot of people of the Illuminati and other stories like that. So if you don't know what the Illuminati is and you play this Assassin's Creed game, you're just going to think the Knights Templars are bad guys who want to control the world for no reason. But if you do know what the Illuminati is, then you'll play this game and you're going to see the Knights Templar and think, well, that just makes a lot of sense. So the rivalry between two ancient secret societies, the Assassins and the Knights Templar, their indirect relation to an ancient species predating humanity. And so this ancient species within the games, it sort of relates to the theory of ancient astronauts, also known as the people who visited ancient civilizations and helped them get to where they are today. If you're not familiar with the ancient astronauts theory, a lot of that theory consists of think about the pyramids in Japan, in Egypt, not Japan, in Egypt, as well as in Indonesia. Those temples and those huge temples that were supposedly made by earlier civilizations, there are a group of people who think that ancient astronauts actually came down and helped those civilizations build themselves. And so Assassin's Creed, not only does it take from a lot of historical events, but it also takes from a lot of conspiracy theories as well. So getting back, an ancient species predating humanity whose society, along with much of Earth's biosphere, was destroyed by a massive solar storm. The game's real-world chronological settings begins in the year 2012 and features Desmond Miles, a bartender who is a descendant of several lines of prominent assassins. Although Desmond was raised as an assassin, he left his nomadic family to seek out a more common lifestyle. So the main character, Desmond, that is who, if you pick up the game, you will be playing as up until about, I believe it's Assassin's Creed 3 or 4, where he gets replaced because he has to do this thing in the game where, you know, if you get the game, you'll find out. Or I'll talk about it later. I'll most likely talk about it later. But yeah. So in 2012, Desmond escaped. He wanted to seek a more common lifestyle. However, in 2012, he is kidnapped. And this is where the name Abstergo comes in. The name Abstergo actually refers to a mega corporation called Abstergo Industries. And they are the modern day face of the Knights Templar. So Desmond, a modern day representation of the Assassin's Secret Society, and Abstergo, which is a modern day representation of the Templar's Secret Society. Now, Abstergo is aware of Desmond's ancestral lineage, and Desmond is forced to use this device called the Animus, which allows him to experience his ancestral memories. Much like the trailer of the movie that I was talking about with Michael Fassbender. After being forced to use the Animus, Abstergo forces him to use this device to locate artifacts called the Pieces of Eden, which hold the power to control mankind and alter its fate, bringing humanity into one single unified group. You know, as bad as that sounds, it doesn't sound too bad. That didn't make sense, but yeah. Abstergo is seeking to discover the location of several artifacts. We went over that. Desmond also encounters a small team of modern day assassins who agree to work with him. And Desmond uses their version of the Animus 2.0 to continue to experience the memories of his ancestors to discover the locations of additional pieces of Eden so they can be recovered before Abstergo can do so. So this whole idea of secret societies going against each other and battling each other, it is a timeline that spans very, very, very far. So the first game, you actually get to play as an assassin in the that was prominent in the Third Crusades. So that's really interesting. That's the first Assassin's Creed. You were to play as Altair, which is a ancestor of Desmond, and he's really cool. So let's get into talk about gameplay before we talk about the storylines that are present within all of the games. While the game is presented through protagonist Desmond Miles, the bulk of the game is played as Desmond experiences the memories of his ancestors through an advanced device called the Animus. Many of you know that already. This provides a means of a diegetics interface, showing Desmond's ancestors' health, equipment, goals, and other features as part of the Animus interface. So, in reality, what you're doing is you're playing a video game of a guy who's playing a video game. But this video game that he's playing are memories of his ancestors. While the video game that we're playing is a video game that was created by Ubisoft for the entertainment of us. Much different from the video game that Desmond is playing. So, the Animus is based on the player controlling the assassin to maintain the synchronization between Desmond and his ancestors' memories, performing actions that go against the assassin's way or dying breaks the synchronization, effectively requiring the player to restart at a previous checkpoint. Furthermore, the player cannot explore outside areas that the assassin has not experienced yet, which makes sense because if the assassin does not have that in their memory, it would make sense that when you're trying to relive his memories, you wouldn't be able to see those parts because they're not in his memory. There are also abnormalities within the Animus from previous users of the device. So one of the craziest things to me is you'll find out later in the game that literally Abstergo is using people to test the calamity and the consequences of being in the Animus too long. Desmond, which was their perfect test subject, was not the first user of the Animus, and he actually experiences memories of previous users. Horrific, horrific, traumatic memories. Sometimes this game can get a little too intense. So while playing as the assassin's characters, the games are generally presented as third person in an open world, focusing on stealth and free running. So imagine Grand Theft Auto without all of the guns and vulgarity. Well, there's vulgarity in this game, but not as much as Grand Theft Auto. Alternatively, several side missions are available, such as mapping out the expansive cities from a high perch, followed by performing a leap of faith into a haystack below. So this is what I was talking about earlier, where the assassins could actually go on rooftops and then pretty much scout out a city, see what types of monuments are there. I know there is an area where you're actually in the French Revolution and you get to see France. You're in the, there's also a part where you're in the Renaissance and you get to see different areas of Florence, Venice, all of those beautiful cities. Italy. We love it. So these leap of faiths into a haystack below, from the rooftop, the assassin just jumps and they end up in a haystack. So that's one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced in this video game. It always makes your heart drop a little because, I don't know, for me, I like to put myself in the shoes of the character that I'm playing, and that's just not something I would imagine myself doing in real life, or anyone doing in real life for that matter. So getting back to what we were talking about, at times the player is in direct control of Desmond, who by nature of the Animus use has learned assassin techniques through the bleeding effect, as well as gaining their genetic ability of Eagle Vision, which separates friend, foe, and assassination targets by illuminating people in different colors. Through the Animus interface, the player can go back to retry any mission that they've already completed. For example, in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the player achieves better synchronization results by performing the mission in a specific manner, such as by only killing the mission's target. I've seen people do challenge gameplays where they go through every mission without killing. Sometimes you'll get into the game and you realize either I can be stealthy or I could just run through all of these enemies with my assassin's dagger. Now, while running into enemies with the assassin's dagger definitely is the easiest way out, and if you're playing on a pretty easy difficulty, then it's not that hard to do. But I personally love the stealth aspect of it. I'm a big fan of Metal Gear, so the stealth aspect of Assassin's Creed appeals to me a lot. And while it is the harder way to avoid enemies, it's, to me, the most fun. So the game uses concept of active versus passive moves, with active moves being running, climbing the sides of buildings, jumping between rooftops, which is more likely to alert the attention of nearby guards. When the guard becomes alerted, the player must either fight them or break their line of sight and locate a hiding place such as a haystack or a well, and wait until the guard's alert is reduced. Something in this game that I never understood is the Templars, they can run around and do whatever they want, but just by the fact that you look like an assassin and you do crazy assassin things, you're going to be targeted by the guards. Whereas the Templars, well, I guess it makes sense because the guards are under control of the Templars. So, never mind. Scratch that idea. So, let's get into our next break. We've been talking about Assassin's Creed. We just talked about gameplay. And so, this has been your most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'll get back to all of you in just a few minutes. And hope you still stay tuned. We have a lot more to talk about. And we are back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Welcome, welcome. You're listening to the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio. Combo Breaker. I'm your host, DJ 1UP. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about one of my favorite video games of all time, Assassin's Creed. Right now we're listening to the Assassin's Creed 2 soundtrack. Assassin's Creed 2 was, I would say, my second favorite in the series behind Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. So I don't know why I didn't play the Brotherhood soundtrack. I think I like the Assassin's Creed 2 soundtrack better. So if you just tuned in, we went over gaming news and Assassin's Creed movie, which is based off the video game, is coming out December 21st. Check that out in theaters. And we went over gameplay. I introduced a few characters. Desmond Miles, the main character of the series from the first video game all the way up to the colonial era of the video games, which is Assassin's Creed 4, is where it changes main characters. And then I talked about two of the secret societies, the Assassins and the Knights Templar. Desmond is a modern day representation of the Assassins, while the mega corporation Abstergo is a modern representation of the Knights Templar. And they pretty much kidnapped Desmond so that they could use his assassin ancestral lineage / background to control the world. Crazy people, man. We don't know what they're doing anymore. But now let's get into some more detailed talk about the main video game series. I'm probably going to talk up to about Revelations, because although Brotherhood is my favorite, Revelations is one of the more you learn a lot in Revelations. And I think after talking about Revelations, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Assassin's Creed 2, and the first Assassin's Creed, it'll get all of you interested enough to go out and play the game. So, Assassin's Creed 1, Desmond is captured by Abstergo, forced to use a machine called the Animus. All of you know this already. To explore the memories of an ancestor during the Third Crusade. His name is Altair ibn La'ahadz, and he begins to witness events after Altair breaks all three tenets of the Assassin Brotherhood. So let's actually find out what those Assassin's Brotherhood tenets are. The Assassin's Creed, which is the name of the game, is the code and guiding philosophy of the Assassin's Order. The three tenets are to stay your blade from the flesh of an innocent. And here is a quote from one of the characters of Assassin's Creed. He actually says, his name's Malik Al-Saif, and he says, "I would not have drawn attention to us. I would not have taken the life of an innocent." The goal of the Assassins was to ensure peace in all things, and they believed that killing innocent people was unnecessary. I mean, I believe that too, so I guess that makes me part assassin. Hide in plain sight is the second tenet of the Assassin's Creed. Al-Mualim from the game says, "Let the people mask you such that you become one with the crowd." Interesting. So the Assassins, they want to have control through free will, but they want to be one with the crowd. Interesting. And never compromise the Brotherhood. Al-Mualim, once again, its meaning should be obvious. Your actions must never bring harm upon us, direct or indirect. And the crazy thing about that is Altair broke all three tenets of the Assassin's Creed, And because of that, he was demoted to a novice assassin and had to redeem himself. And that's what the first Assassin's Creed game was all about. Al-Mualim, which is the leader of the Brotherhood during the Third Crusade, it asked him to assassinate the 9 Knights Templars, including Robert de Sable, who actually took... He didn't take a piece of Eden, but he did attempt to. And in that attempt, that's where Altair actually broke all 3 tenets. Eventually, Altair faces Disable in the presence of King Richard I of England, who warned the king of Disable's plot to kill him. After defeating Disable, Disable reveals that there are 10 Knights Templars, with the last being Al-Mualim himself, the leader of the Brotherhood. When Altair recovers the Piece of Eden, he and those watching the Animus witness a holographic map showing locations across the globe where other artifacts are located. Desmond then is pulled from the Animus, and after that, they were just going to kill him because Abstergo, all they really needed was to know where these pieces of Eden are so that they could control the world. However, his life is spared by Lucy Stillman, who is an assassin working within Abstergo, who claims they might need to further examine his memories. He comes to learn that a former test subject had left messages only Desmond can see, foretelling of the end of the world in 2012. So, for someone who loves history as much as I do, this game really came out and just surprised and shocked me, because you were literally able to live through history and see historic places. And when we get to Assassin's Creed Part 2, we'll actually get into talking about the historical people that you get to interact with. Really, really cool. So the first Assassin's Creed introduced elements that would remain cornerstones of the rest of the series. This game created historical versions of Masyaf, which is the Brotherhood's location. There were also historical versions of Jerusalem, Acre, and Damascus. And it also incorporates a number of documented historical figures into the story. The virtualized Animus system, free running, climbing, stealth, and parkour elements were all present in this title, as well as the initial formulation of the combat system. A difference from this game is that you had to actually complete the side quest to continue with the main story, and that's something that wasn't required in the newer games. So moving on to Assassin's Creed 2, following the story, Lucy returns, breaks Desmond out of Abstergo, takes him to an assassin's safe house, where he's introduced to 2 new characters, Sean, who is a historian, and Rebecca, who is tech support. And the reason they have a tech support character is actually because this rogue team of assassins actually created their own Animus, which allowed Desmond to experience the memories of another important assassin in his family line, whose name is Ezio Auditore da Firenze, who is a young nobleman from the late 15th century in Florence. Now, Ezio definitely has to be my favorite character of everyone that I've played as I've played Assassin's Creed. Don't get me wrong, I love Altair, but Ezio is just Ezio. And if you ever pick up any game, you really don't have to get Assassin's Creed 1, because I would pick up Assassin's Creed 2 and just start from there. And, I mean, you already know the story of Assassin's Creed 1, so. Lucy returns, breaks Desmond out of Abstergo. We went over that. So, here's the crazy part about Ezio. Ezio actually witnesses his father and brother's execution that is ordered by a corrupt official who's working for the Templars. And Ezio believes that this was wrong, this was against because it was a corrupt official, he didn't really go through all of the due processes that citizens are supposed to be given. And because of that, Ezio and his mother and sister go and live with his uncle Mario, who helps to train Ezio in the ways of an assassin. Ezio and Mario discover that Rodrigo Borgia is the figurehead of a number of Templars, all who were accomplices in the execution of his family. So this whole assassin versus Templar battle continuing in the 15th century in Italy. Now, we're going to start naming some popular names. With the help of allies like Leonardo da Vinci, Ezio methodically assassinates the lower-ranked Templars while learning that Borgia has acquired a piece of Eden called the Apple of Eden. I mean, you read any story that talks about the Bible and the Garden of Eden, you already know about the Apple. It is a piece of Eden in the games. So, eventually, Ezio quarters Borgia, who hands over the piece and flees. Ezio is inducted into the ranks of the Brotherhood and believed to be a prophet based on their codex. A decade later, the Brotherhood learns that Borgia has since become Pope Alexander VI. This part, when they revealed that the enemy of the assassins became the Pope, I was just out of my mind, because that's just insane to me. Pope Alexander IV, uses the church's influence to strengthen the Templars. Ezio invades Vatican City and confronts Borgia, discovering that the papal staff is also a piece of Eden. Defeating Borgia but sparing his life, Ezio uses both the apple and the papal staff to reveal a chamber of ancient technology. Inside, he is addressed by a hologram of a humanoid female that calls herself Minerva, who speaks directly to Desmond through Ezio. So Minerva is an ancient astronaut, like I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Defeating Borgia... Oh wait, we went over that. Minerva explains how her society predated humanity's, but a great disaster nearly wiped them out, and another event is due to occur soon. If all of you remember in 2012, when the world was supposed to end, quote-unquote, or anything like that, that's what this is referring to. And so Minerva pretty much put the fate of humanity in Desmond's hands. At this discovery, Desmond and his allies find the safe house has been compromised by Abstergo, and they flee. Some of the historical locations that were included in Assassin's Creed 2 include Venice, Florence, Forlì, San Gimignano, and the Tucson countryside. So, all beautiful areas that, unfortunately, I haven't had the grace to experience in real life yet. But I was able to experience them in Assassin's Creed. So, I mean, it's not as great as real life, but we'll get there one day. Next up, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Desmond and his allies retreat to the ruins of the Montregioni Villa. The Montregioni Villa is where Uncle Mario lives. If all of you remember Uncle Mario, he's not a plumber in this game. And Desmond re-enters the Animus to continue Ezio's memory, specifically to identify the location of the apple. After facing against Rodrigo Borgia, Ezio returned to Montregioni, but the villa is soon attacked by forces under the command of Cesare Borgia, who is Rodrigo's son. Uncle Mario is killed, and the apple is stolen. Oh my goodness. Ezio vows revenge by helping to free the people of Rome from the Borgia family. As Ezio works covertly to turn the city against the Borgias, he gains followers that want to join his cause, and Ezio trains them in the way of the assassins. In an attempt to assassinate Cesare and Rodrigo at the Castel Sant'Angelo, Ezio instead witnesses Cesare forcing his father to eat a poisoned apple that Rodrigo had prepared to kill his son. Ezio chases down Cesare and eventually captures him and recovers the apple. Cesare is taken to prison in Viana, Spain, but manages to escape with the help of his allies. The assassins lead the fight against Cesare and the remaining loyal Borgia troops, and eventually Ezio throws Cesare from the castle walls, killing him. With no perceived further threats, Ezio takes to hide the apple under the Colosseum of Rome. In the present, Desmond is able to navigate through the underground chambers beneath the Colosseum to locate the apple. As he picks it up, Desmond is witness to another hologram figure calling herself Juno, who controls Desmond to stab Lucy, the girl that got Desmond out of Abstergo. Juno controls Desmond's body in order to stab her. When this happened, I remember just freaking out because I remember Lucy helped him get out, and now Desmond stabbed her. And because at the end of this game, when he stabs her, he just goes into a coma and everything turns black, and it's just definitely an interesting experience. So all of you have to pick up that game. The beauty of this game, I think, is within the Brotherhood feature. Because you got to play Ezio, you actually got first-hand experience in training these new assassins and bringing them on missions with you. And I am a big fan of teamwork. One of my other favorite games is NBA 2K. So I like working in teams, and Brotherhood is my favorite because it allowed us to work in a team of assassins. Can you imagine being a Knights Templar and then all of a sudden all these assassins come out of nowhere and they're on a team and they all know what they're doing and they're all running on the walls? I wouldn't know what to do. So after Lucy's got stabbed, it brings us into the next game, which is Assassin's Creed Revelations. And this is going to be the last Assassin's Creed game I'm going to talk about, as this show is coming to a end very, very soon. Desmond comes to consciousness in a virtual area within the Animus Island, where he meets the digital personality of Subject 16. Subject 16 explains that from the trauma of stabbing Lucy, Desmond must complete the memories of both Altair and Ezio to be able to separate his mind from theirs and to allow him to come out of his coma. However, doing so will destabilize the island as the Animus recovers that memory segment, and at one point, Subject 16 sacrifices himself to allow Desmond to continue. This whole idea of sacrificing yourself to continue, it's a very common theme in these games. So, Desmond rejoins Ezio's story many years after Brotherhood, where Ezio is curious to the assassin's origins and has traveled to Masyaf to locate their original headquarters. He finds Altair's library, though it is locked by 5 keys, which the Templars are also seeking, believing there to be great power within it. Who knows, maybe a piece of Eden. Ezio travels to the Ottoman era Constantinople, where the keys are said to have been hidden by explorer Niccolo Polo, and finds the city embroiled by the feuding brothers Selim and Ahmet vying for the sultanate. The Templars secretly behind the battle. Of course, the Templars are behind every battle. While searching for the keys, Ezio meets and falls in love with Sophia Sartor, and eventually Ahmet is revealed as the agent for the Templars and is killed by Selim, who thanks Ezio for his help but banishes him from the city for his own good. Ezio and Desmond use the keys to witness Altair's memories following the death of Al-Mualim. If you do remember, Al-Mualim was apparently the 10th Knights Templar, even though he was the leader of the Assassin's Brotherhood. A lot of defectors in this game. Anyway, these show Altair having lost his wife and youngest son in the midst of a coup d'etat within the Assassins, followed by a 20-year self-imposed exile. Eventually, Altair returned to Masyaf, killed the usurper, and retook control. Near his death, Altair inscribed the keys with his memories and gave them to his friend Niccolo to hide at a distant location, before disappearing into his library forever. In Ezio's present, he and Sophia go to Masyaf and open the library to find Altair's corpse and the piece of Eden he possessed. Ezio leaves the piece as well as his assassin's tool
and speaks directly to Desmond, knowing he was only a conduit for him, and hopes he finds the answer he needs. Desmond is then approached by another holographic figure, Jupiter, who explains that their society had tried to use technology to stop the destruction of the Earth's surface by a massive solar flare, but they had stored their repository of knowledge in several vaults linked to a central vault, which Desmond must use to stop another similar flare that will occur soon. Desmond recognizes the location in New England, wakes up from his coma, finds Rebecca, Sean, and to his surprise, his own father there, the one he ran away from. After learning that Lucy died from his stabbing, he informs of the location in New York, the temple that will save humanity. So that is our show for the week. Thank you all so much for being here once again, for taking the time out. If you are fiending for more, I'm the last show for the week, or not for the week, for today, for Tuesday. But tomorrow, we got all of the Penguin Radio DJs. We got a few shows tomorrow. We got DJ Young Z with It's Gonna Get Weird. Personally, one of my favorites because it's a conspiracy theory show. We got The Travel Diaries with DJ Amore. We got Kawaii Corner with DJ Sadaharu. College Survival Guide with DJ Royal. And My Two Cents with Captain Quality. So continue to tune into Penguin Radio. We got more shows tomorrow. And that is the end of my show today. Thank you all once again for tuning in. Love you all. This has been Combo Breaker. I've been DJ 1UP. Thank you so much.